We begin a Perek Sheni, the second chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Ma'amar Levi, the laws of lenders and borrowers, the Sefer Mishpatim, the Book of Judgments. When this Perek we discuss regarding the taking of oaths as it applied to loans of the pauper who, regarding the paying back of the loan. As Rambam begins Halacha Alef regarding an exemption that the borrower has from taking an oath when he doesn't have what to pay back. Din Torah, biblical law, Shebizman Sheyitva Hamal V'Shevay, when the lender is coming to collect his debt, so if you find by the borrower that there's properties, there's assets, so suddenly we organize it for him, and we give him whatever he needs, and we give the creditor the rest, like we explained this in the end of the previous parak, Halacha Zayin. Now, but let's say there's nothing that the borrower has, or he only has remaining the things that we would organize for him, that we let him keep for himself, for his basic survival. So the borrower could go on his path. We don't lock him up. We don't tell him, only bring proof that you're a pauper. We don't make him take an oath that he doesn't have anything. The way the Gentiles do their court cases. Says the pasuk in Shemais, you shouldn't beat him like a creditor. And all these are mediums that a creditor takes for collections. Rather, we tell the lender, if you know that this borrower has properties that you could collect from, go and grab them. But otherwise, we don't harass the borrower. Halacha beis. Ton, if let's say the lender claims, that the borrower has, but that he's hiding them, but they're really in his house. The law does not allow them to go into the borrower's house. Not the lender, and not the agent of the court. Because the Torah is very particular about this. It says, you have to stand on the outside. But you do make an excommunication. If someone has, he's not giving it to his creditor. Now, however, the Goyim were mesakin to actually create an oath on the bar. That is, when the earlier Goyim saw, which is the Rabban Sabaro, after the Amram, that they stood up in after the compilation of the Gemara, they saw that there was an increase of deceptive people who were hiding the money and saying they don't have to pay back. So Vaninala Delis with Nelovin, it was locking the door in front of borrowers because no one wants to lend money anymore because everyone's going to say they don't have money to pay back and there's not going to be any way in enforcing it. So Skinu, they instituted Shemeshbin as a labor that we do make the borrower take an oath, a Shavua Chamura, a severe oath, Ke'en Shal Torah, like that of a biblical oath, Benekitas Chavetz, where you have to hold a holy object, that he has to swear She'en Lekulum, that he doesn't have anything, yes, Al Devam Shemes, only more than the amount that we let him, that we organize for him to hold on to, which is food for 30 days, clothing for 12 months. That he didn't hide it by other people. He didn't give a gift to someone else with the intention that it should be given back to him at a later time. The Koel B'Shavuzo, and he includes in this oath, that whatever profit he's going to make, whatever he's going to come to his possession or to his domain, from what he will be able to attain, he's not going to eat anything from it. He's not going to give from it to eat. Loi l'ishtoi, not to his wife. Loi l'banav, not to his children. Only he could. He's not going to need to use him as clothing for them, for his wife and kids. He's not going to use it to be busy with them. He's not going to use any money he's going to make to give a gift to any person in the world. Rather, what he's going to utilize from whatever he's going to get is mezayin shloshim yom, only food for 30 days, and clothing for 12 months, which is maznarola uksusarola. It has to be only food which is appropriate for him, and clothing that's appropriate to him. Meaning, loy chilis azul masayim, I'm not going to eat for those next 30 days like gluttons do, or b'nei malachim like princes do. And neither b'lei mambushe pachas basyog, he's not going to wear clothing like that of princes and lords and nobles. El kadarke, rather, in his normal way. Not b'chala yes, al tzarkin, whatever is more than what he needs, yitl b'chayv, rishon, he's going to give to his creditor first on the first come basis, achigvu, achig benu kolchayv, and he doesn't be able to collect his whole debt. Macharim and tchila, and we first, however, make an excommunication on Misha Yedil Laplein in the Chasim Gluim Atimunim, that if anyone knows about that person has revealed or hidden assets, below Yedil Labezin, and it doesn't let the courts know that there really is what to collect from. Now, Gamacha Hatakan Aziz, now, even after this institution of this oath, Ein Bal Chayb Yochel Ikanis Otech Beisa Shalev, if still the creditor cannot go into the house of the borrower, Lehu Bolishlich Bezin, not him, not the agent of the court, because Shleit Tiknu Laka Gufater, they did not institute to uproot the primary biblical law, which is that no one's allowed to go into the house of the bar. Ela Leiva Atzmai Yoytzi Kelev. Rather, the bar himself takes out his vessels. Or he says, Kach Bekach Hushesh, listen, this is what I have. Manicha and Haroloi, we leave them what's appropriate for him. V'yetze Hashar, and they take out whatever is the rest. V'yishav b'takana zu, and then he takes an oath regarding this takana that he doesn't have anything else. Gezeh don yisob b'chamakamaisam, and this is how the Jewish people judge in all the places. Now, nirulei mamon achar shenish b'shavua zu, if let's say we see money by him after he already took this oath, Vamani says, yeah, I don't have anything else, but shalachem hu, this money is from someone else. Or esek could be other words, investment that I'm doing, someone's giving me to do work with. In Shemla, we don't listen to Machiavirah until he brings the proof. Chen Har Rabbi says, my teacher's ruling this, and therefore that's something that could be collected from. Halacha Gimel. Mishin nish b'shvua zu she'in leklum. Now, let's say someone takes this oath from the Ge'enim, that he doesn't have anything. V'chom asher yirviach, whatever he's going to gain, Yitlum Bal Chayv, he's going to give to his creditor. Now, not any one of his other creditors could come and make him take an oath a second time, that same oath. Because with this one oath includes all his creditors. And more of a takana zachayim, this is only a takana of the later authorities of the Ge'enim. And then we're not so precise with it to be stringent to obligate an oath to every one of his creditors that whatever he's going to give them. Rather, his leniency only takes it one time. Halacha Dalad. The conclusion of the judge to exempt someone, however, from this oath. Misha Huchzik, someone that's presumed, Shahu Ani B'Kasher, we know him to be a pauper and an upstanding person. Boilich B'Tamin, he goes faithfully, innocently. This is well known and revealed to the judge and to most of the people. Now, however, his creditors come to make him take an oath with this Takanas HaGo'inim. Now, the creditor knows She'in Mestabik Bani Azeh, that he's established that he has no doubts regarding this pauperacy, the poverty of this person that he's a pauper. He just wants to pain him with taking this oath. To oppress him, to embarrass him in public, to take revenge from him, or to force him to go take a loan from Gentiles. He's going to have to take properties from his wife and give it to this person. That he could be saved from having to take this oath. Says the Rambam, Yiro Lid, appears to me, it's forbidden for a judge that's a God-fearing person, to make that pauper take this oath. The Mishbian, if it does make him take this oath, he has nullified a negative prohibition of the Torah of Laisi Lekanesha, that you should not be to the borrower like a creditor. Not only that, rather, it's appropriate in such a situation for the judge to get upset at the collector, and to chastise him because he's holding a grudge, and he's going in his arrogant ways. Because the Gaon did not institute this takana because of deceptive people. Like it says in the pasuk regarding Hashavas Aveda, until you inspect your brother regarding this, which is Dersheyu, you have to inspect him. You have to see, is he a deceptive person or is not? Now that we already established, everyone knows this guy is a poor person, he's not a deceptive person. Also, it's forbidden to make him take this oath. So too, I says the Rambam, Shemisha Huchzig Ramid, the other way around. If someone is established, everyone knows him to be a deceitful person. And his ways are ruined and crooked with his business dealings. Actually, everyone evaluates him, that they know that he has money. He claims he doesn't have anything, and he's running to swear because of this takana that to take an oath. It's not appropriate to make him take the oath. Ella rather, if there's ability in the judge to force him, until he pays back to his creditor, or to excommunicate him until he gives it. Yeah, so that's what he should do. Because since everyone knows this guy to have money, and the reason is because the paying back of the debtor is a mitzvah, and therefore you should find a way to force him to pay back. Which calls it up, the rule of the thing is as follows. Whatever the judge does from all these things we mentioned, the kavanasa, his whole intent is to chase after justice, and that's all. For which we're commanded to chase after justice. Not to tilt the judgment regarding any one of the litigants. It is a mursha lasis, the judge is permitted to do this. Mekabes chani actually gets reward for this. V'ushayu, maisa l'shem shemem, as long as his actions are for the sake of heaven. Halacha hey, now regarding the concern of kenunya, of a trick. Mishnah schay b'shvua zu. Okay, let's say someone is obligated in this oath, m'neshtar chay b'shalom, because of an outstanding document that's being brought here that he owes money. V'hoydeh la'acherim, now, the borrower admits to others, b'chay b'shachem regarding allegedly some other debts, that according to what he's saying, were actually predated this loan in the document. And now we see that he has more money than what he needs for his own self, which is excess to pay back creditors. So that extra should not be taken. Only those who are coming with documents. Because maybe he's making a trick with his admission regarding his assets that he's making with someone else. They say, look, I'll admit that I owe you money. You'll collect it, so to speak, and I won't have anything left for my true creditor. And because there's the deception and there's no document attesting with any witnesses, and if, although he admitting, and usually some of the admission obligates him, in this case, we don't allow that. Halacha Vav, Reuven shayichayv l'Shimon Meya. If Reuven owed Shimon 100 dinar, but Levi chayv l'Reuven Meya. Now, Levi, he is a debtor to Reuven, who's a debtor to Shimon. So Halacha is Meitzin Melevi v'Nesin l'Shimon, which is called Shibud Reb Nosson, that you can extract from Levi and give it straight to Shimon, because Levi owes Reuven and Reuven owes Shimon. Now, lefikach, therefore, in regarding the halacha we mentioned in the previous halacha, imein leReuven nechasim. Now, if Reuven does not have assets, va'yilishtari chayv al Levi, and he had an outstanding document on Levi, but va'amal Levi, Levi says, oh, shtar manahu, this was a document of faithfulness, meaning, oh, Reuven never borrowed anything from me. He just gave me as if he owes me in case he's going to borrow from me that I have it ready, that I have a document against him. Or he says, peruhu. He says, yes, there was such a debt, but he already paid it back. And it just remained by Reuven. V'haidle Reuven. And Reuven agrees to Levi. He says, yeah, oh, that? It's paid up, or it was never a real document. We don't pay any attention to the admission of Reuven, because we know that Reuven, the debtor of Shimon, he has an outstanding debt against Levi that owes him money, and although he's saying that no, it's not owed to him, maybe they're just making a trick to create a loss of the right that Shimon has on collecting from Reuven, because Reuven says, I don't have anything, but Levi owes you. No, it doesn't owe me. Eli Yeshua Shimon, rather, Shimon swears that he was never paid back this debt, and then he could take from Levi, like all those who are collecting from what's called Nechasim Meshabadim, those things, assets which were sold off or that is a lien to someone else. Shein Nifel B'Shem, which you could only collect with an oath. Because, again, we don't believe Reuben in this situation. So to anyone who has an outstanding document of a debt against him, now on his own, he admits, quote-unquote, to someone else that he owes him previously. If he doesn't have enough assets that both of them could collect from him, only the one who has the documents can be able to collect. It shouldn't be doing a trick to say, oh, I already owe him first and there's nothing left for you. Again, that might be a trick. So the one with the document is the one who collects, not the one who is orally admitting to. Halacha Zayin continues with this idea of lending without witnesses. It's actually forbidden for a person to lend money to someone else without witnesses, because that might bring up the idea by the borrower to just deny the loan. And actually, even to a Talmudic scholar who we wouldn't suspect, but he might be busy with his learning and he might forget that he actually owes it because there's no document. Unless there was a loan on collateral, so then he has what to hold on to for the debt that's owed him. Now, whoever loans with a document is more praiseworthy, because that says exactly all the different details. Now, whoever lends without witnesses, he violates that in front of a blind person and should not put a stumbling block, because you're creating a stumbling block for this person to deny the loan that you lent him. And actually causes a curse to the lender, because people are going to curse him that what are you doing claiming from this person who doesn't owe you anything, because he doesn't have a document to prove it. There are certain situations that there's no mitzvah to return the loan. If the master took a loan from his slave, then he freed him. Or he borrowed from his wife, and then he divorced her. Although they're free people now, and they have their own rights of their own monies, they have nothing on the master slash husband. Why? Whatever the slave acquired, the master acquired. So although he's borrowing from him, it's really his own money. Whatever money is by the woman, it is in the presumption that it's her husband's. So in other words, he only, quote unquote, borrowed because he just wanted to see if she has money, because it's really his money. Only if she brings proof that it's from her dowry, which that's her own money, and that's what she lent her husband, only then could she collect. Now that she's divorced, which now she gets back her own money, is only then. But up until then, we presume that whatever money she had is her husband's, and whatever she lent him is really her husband's own money.